You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Who fancies an extra Clásico and another one and another one and another one? Well, actually, I'm angry. I'm angry about the European Super League. I'm angry that a small number of people have been able to gather so much power over football, the greatest game, that they feel they can set fire to it for cash and get away with it, because that's what a Super League is. It's converting football's popularity into profit for an ever-shrinking cabal. They want to remove the element of jeopardy, the fear of failure, and they're calculating that no matter how much that weakens the sporting contest, the fans will engage with the content that is left and keep the money pouring in. It's no surprise that the clubs leading this have failed in either financial or in sporting terms, because we thought that Real Madrid and Barcelona could virtually print their own cash, but somehow they racked up eye-watering debts. The likes of Manchester United had everything until the greedy Glazers came in. And now they've got huge debts and never win the Premier League. The 12 clubs concerned are $5.5 billion in debts between them, despite raking in cash from fans. So I wonder how some of these clubs even have the nerve to be involved. Tottenham haven't won the league since 1961, haven't won anything since the League Cup in 2008. They're included purely by revenue, and that revenue has come from the Premier League collective TV deal. Arsenal were an elite club until Stan Kroenke basically decided it wasn't profitable to compete with the other giants, and he was better off just tucking into the back and taking the money. So this is a way out for him, but for Arsenal fans, it's a way into a competition that either they or Spurs will finish bottom of, unless they invite some other schmuck along every season to finish bottom as the whipping boy. So the question is, will UEFA, will La Liga, will the Premier League, Serie A, will they have the nerve to stand up to these clubs? We'll see how the power battle now unfolds. But a word of warning, though, please don't be tempted by the argument of they're all the same, the Premier League's all about money, La Liga allowed Real Madrid and Barca to ride roughshod anyway, so this is just a logical next step. Because that argument leads to corruption, it leads to failed states. The idea that corruption is everywhere and that everyone is corrupt, it's very hard to stop once you start accepting that that's the case. This is different from the rest because it pulls up the ladder, not just because of financial inequality, but because it's actually written into the constitution that new teams cannot come along, that these teams can never lose, these teams can never be kicked out. One of the great stories of the last 10 years of Spanish football has been Atletico Madrid transforming from a club that in our minds was a big club, but now are actually able to compete to win La Liga and to be European champions. But the Super League is designed to stop that. What these people, when we all saw Leicester City win the Premier League in 2016, and we thought, great, that's a beacon of hope. We think that someone can come and bring fresh energy to football. They all thought, no, that's wrong. We're richer than them. That shouldn't be allowed. It's an acceleration towards kleptocracy, which is the rule by thieves. The days of brown envelopes in service stations That's gone. That's yesterday's corruption. Now you get hold of a club or a business and you change the rules so that you can't ever lose. And we sort of saw it coming in slow motion. Florentino Perez, of course, got control of Real Madrid, and then he changed the laws so that no one ever could stand against him. They don't want competition. They don't want a free market. They want guaranteed power and guaranteed cash. So no matter how often they fail, they still retain their position and their power. So I'm angry, but I'm also a little bit hopeful. Hopeful that the grotesque grab for power and money might have woken up the rest of us. Hopeful that the politicians inside football and the real ones on the outside might belatedly do their jobs and actually protect the fans. I'm hopeful that supporters might stop being divided and say, this threatens the concept of football and it has to stop. I'm also hopeful that Terry Gibson will give us some words of wisdom in a minute. There was some actual football this weekend. Barca won the Copa del Rey, which is a competition played by Spanish clubs playing against other Spanish clubs, the idiots. Lionel Messi provided some excellent content. The goal he scored is doing great social media numbers. If only it could be effectively monetized, it all would have been worthwhile. Atletico trashed Eibar, who apparently also think that La Liga is yesterday's news and wants out. Real Madrid were held to an inconvenient goalless draw by Getafe, scrapped domestic football immediately. Sevilla beat Real Sociedad and will be confirmed as Spanish champions if Javier Tebas chucks out the people that he calls PowerPoint gurus, more accurately translated, PowerPoint wankers. We want to hear what you have to say. So you can use the US corporate giant website Twitter to express your views. Driscoll FC, Terry Gibson 88, and at LaLiga_weekly. You can cross into our paywall if you like, patreon.com/LTL. It is okay to make money out of football as long as you're not stopping anyone else from doing so or ruining the game while you do it. So make your own podcast if you like, or ideally you help to pay for ours. Now, I'm aware, though, that a lot of people listen to this. We are actually the target audience for this new league. Almost all of the people listening to this live in English-speaking countries. We're all people who love football and we enjoy watching a league played somewhere else in the world. And we've got loads of Barcelona fans, loads of Real Madrid fans. As far as I can tell, only one Osasuna supporter. Hi, Henry. So where do you all stand? You are the crucial people in this, really. If you are happy watching Barcelona play Juve, then you are watching Barcelona play Osasuna. Or you want to watch Real Madrid versus Liverpool more often, then tell us. The Super League say they will still play domestically at the weekends. So if you're happy with it, let us know and we'll read them out next week. There are some people who agree with it. Daniel, for example, no, Daniel's against it. He said there may be news to the contrary to come, but do you think Lineker is right and this is merely a power play for the richest clubs to demand a greater share of money from UEFA and their respective leagues? If successful, this will unravel the recent egalitarian profit-sharing measures enacted by La Liga. You guys do great work. Now, he's definitely right about the last bit. Thank you, Daniel. He's one of our Patreons. Pete isn't entirely taking this seriously, Terry. He said, my proposal for a European Super Cup, 16 super rich clubs play ties based on 32 legs, 8 at home, 8 away, 16 neutral, with 8 teams through to the quarterfinals. At every knockout stage, the number of legs doubles until the dramatic final consisting of what should be 256 nail-biting legs, with the winner taking the new trophy and £10 billion of cash. Any takers? It's only a matter of time. But is James, who is an Aussie Barca fan who listens to the pod. Teams will compete in their domestic leagues. Question, yeah, that's the Super League plan. So this is an idea to form their own version of the Champions League midweek, isn't it? I don't necessarily think it's that bad. The group stages are a bit of a waste of a time in most years in the Champions League anyway. It's an interesting point of view. And as I say, Terry, that, you know, James is a classic target for this because he's an Australian who supports Barcelona. And so I think the thinking behind it is there are more people in the world like that than live in the city of Barcelona. So why should we care about the Spanish league? Why should we care about the English league or the Italian league and not just concentrate on maximizing content, maximizing profit, shut the door behind us? There we are. Anyway, I've rambled on too long. What do you think, Terry?
No, I agree with everything you've said there. The whole thing, I don't know where to start, if I'm being perfectly honest, because we've had so much discussion on this over the years. And then yesterday evening was a bit of a bolt out of the blue, wasn't it, that it came now. I mean, we're coming to the crunch time of the season. everything's focused on what's happening on the pitch, and all of a sudden we've had this rumour of a statement, an announcement, and it came true last night. Now, I feel really strongly about it, same as you do, same as a lot of people do. I feel strongly, I think the arrogance of the people involved is beyond anything I've ever seen. You know, some of these owners of clubs are only owners because of their rich daddies. Mm-hmm. That's basically what some of that boils down to. The ethos of it stems from the Americans, because that's how American sport is played out. You know, you can stink the place out for years and still make absolute fortunes. If you stink the place out bad enough that you're the worst team in the league, then you get the first pick of the best players in the draft and stuff like that. So you actually get, because there is no threat of relegation. So that's what the American owners don't understand about football, you know, soccer, as they would call it, in the rest of the world, that there has to be competition, there has to be an element of fair play. There will always be those that are stronger and richer than others. That's a given. It's always going to be, and it's the same in every walk of life. So I think that the Americans that bought into football clubs, in particular the Americans, they cannot stand the idea of them not knowing what is going to be happening from one season to the next. Are they going to be in the Champions League? God forbid they get relegated from La Liga, Serie A, Premier League. They just don't want any of that uncertainty. So this is about them getting certainty. And they've brought their ethos and they've spread the word and they've encouraged and they've convinced other clubs around Europe to join in with that. It is greed. It's about power. I look at the benefits. I think we've got 7 cities that are going to be represented. Well, that's not a representation of the whole of Europe, a European Super League. With 7 cities. I'm looking at the owners of the clubs. I think we've got 4 Americans, a Russian, Abu Dhabi, 1 Englishman, Spurs, Joe Lewis. Atletico, Spanish, and Israel. Is an Israeli has got a large share of the ownership of Atletico Madrid. Juventus is Italian owners, and Inter Milan is Chinese. So we've got these people that haven't really got a massive background. The 2 that I've missed out, Barcelona and Real Madrid, are independently owned. So I don't understand how they're the presidents of these clubs, Laporta and Florentino Perez, who is the instigator, who's going to be, he's the president of the new, if it happens, Super League. Yeah. Don't the supporters have a say? I mean, as you said in the intro, Florentino Perez has made it almost impossible now for anybody to stand against him. That's not right. And he was allowed to do it. And it was only this weekend, wasn't it? It was confirmed again for another few years as president of Real Madrid, and no one went against him. It's absolutely ridiculous. And for him, I don't know what say the supporters have in it. Now, I've said before on the podcast a few years back, football will eat itself, and this is it. And then, do you know where it starts from? The Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah,
it starts from the Premier League. I played in the changeover. There was no difference. Honestly, for the first couple of years, that's when I was involved, the back end of my career, there was no difference. No one was consulted. The players weren't consulted. There was a bit of an uproar. It was all about power. It was all about finance. It was the big clubs wanting to take more of the TV revenue. And we didn't put up a fight. So we now, in Europe, I think we're the only club that's chucked all the way its history in terms of records, goal scorers, appearances and stuff to a new, complete new generation era of football. And we accepted it. And that was wrong then that happened, when that happened, the way it happened. And since then, everybody's looked around and gone, I mean, we're the only league in Europe that has a silly name, the Premier League. It used to be the Football League, didn't it? We don't have it called, the Super La Liga or the wonderful Bundesliga or, you know, Prime Serie A. It's ridiculous, but we've just accepted it and we cannot accept this now. We can't be flaky. There has to be a stand from the players. Supporters, don't go to the games. I will not support Tottenham Hotspur if they take part in this competition ever again. Because they may as well change their name to Joe Lewis or Daniel Levy FC. Manchester United should be called Glazier United or something. Yeah. You know, Agnelli at Juve, just call it that, Agnelli Rovers, because that's what it is. It's rich, powerful people just snatching it away for their own benefits. And I absolutely hate the idea. I mean, they want their cake and they want to eat it. They're doing us a favour by pretending, yeah, we'll play in the domestic league as well. Okay, so you're going to play, so you still want to be in the Champions League?
Yeah.
So you play Champions League, Super League, your domestic league, your domestic cups. It's ludicrous. Well,
and this would replace the Champions League. So their argument is it replaces
It's their Champions. It'd be their Champions League.
Yeah, precisely.
I hope there's still be another Champions League. Yeah. And we ignore their league.
Yeah. So, but of course, what, as you rightly say, they're having their cake and eat it, because what they want is the extra revenue, the extra, they reckon 3 billion, not quite sure where that figure comes from, but I'm sure they're the experts on raking in cash.
But I'd be hoping TV companies buy it. That's another one I was going to say. Don't be flaky.
Yeah.
Don't buy it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Don't pay subscriptions if some mug TV company buys it. Don't pay the subscriptions. Don't go and watch the games.
But Sky and BT pundits were very strong yesterday on it, which is interesting, isn't it? At this day, I think you get the honest view first. And I think once the money starts talking, I think if one of those companies signs up for it, you might get a different view. Or more likely, they might have been having chats with Amazon. It's a possibility already, isn't it, that might be. Because otherwise, how do they know the 3 billion figure? They just plucked that out of the air. They might.
Probably. I would assume they're so arrogant, they think everybody on the planet is going to want to buy these games.
Yeah.
TV companies, supporters. And their arrogance has no bounds.
Yeah.
They really genuinely think that everybody's going to start splashing out 40 quid a month to watch it. They're going to expect billions and billions of pounds from TV companies that want to cover it. Please, that's what I'm saying. Don't be flaky.
Yeah.
Don't buy. Don't subscribe. Don't go and watch the games. And now we haven't got round to punishment now.
Yeah. So
chuck them out now. Now.
Right. Yeah.
They've signed up for it. They've signed up for it. Those 12 teams, whatever you want to do, relegate them to the next division down, the lowest division in their particular countries. And that's it shouldn't be. They've signed up to it now. They've done it. You know, they've put their name in writing. There's branding being put about all over the place. They've done it now. This isn't just talk. They've signed a letter of intent. So for me, now, ban them. The three in La Liga, relegate them. The cup final, League Cup final next week, cancel it. Six in the Premier League, so chuck them all down to the bottom division. And then it takes some working out who gets promotion from where and stuff like that. So be it. But that should be it now. And I feel so strongly that they shouldn't be allowed to still dictate to the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, what they should and should, what they want and what they don't want. Cherry pick what they want to be involved
in. Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? They want to be involved in, they play in La Liga in the week and play Premier League, Serie A in the week, but benefit from that extra money. So they would then, this is, for example, Arsenal, who are ninth in the Premier League.
And I suppose. Yeah. Spurs.
Who would then, they're looking at Leicester qualifying, because Leicester have run their club well in the last few years.
Yeah.
And they're looking at Leicester getting Champions League money, and they're not. And thinking, well, that's, hang on, we can't allow this. But once they'd have this extra money, it would just distort the domestic leagues in the way that, you know, in Croatia, I think it's 14 years out of 15 Dinamo Zagreb have won the league because they get Champions League money. And I was reading about Red Star Belgrade. And again, they're getting so much more in the Serbian league that their Champions League money is something like four times higher than the domestic TV contract for the whole league. So you'd end up, that's the kind of situation that these big clubs want. They want to have so much money that you end up, it would be a locked in big three. It's already bad enough. The one drawback that everyone raises about Spanish football that is legitimate, isn't it? Which is that, you know, it's too hard to make an impact, which is why Simeone has done such a brilliant job and saved La Liga in many ways, hasn't he? But not having it just the same two teams and then one of those teams has a bad season. And so there's no contest, at least with, you know, you've got three. And that's at least the Premier League saving thing has been that you've had different teams come in as different monies come in, you know, that there's been a little bit of movement, but they want to stop that, don't they? They don't want to. Sam Kroenke doesn't want to put his own money into this. he wants guaranteed money coming in from TV and content that guarantees Arsenal a top six finish forevermore domestically, whilst also playing internationally as well. So they get the...
Yeah, they want protection.
Yeah.
They want protection. Unfair protection, they want.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be allowed to happen. The other interesting aspect is the players. What happens with the players?
Yeah. So would you ban them from internationals?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Harsh on the players.
Yeah.
Let's see. They're the other ones I'm talking about. Don't be flaky.
Yeah.
Can't strike.
Yeah.
These players should go on strike. If they know that they're going to be banned from internationals, go on strike. Don't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm sure licenses, contracts, all that's got to be taken care of. If they transfer from one league to a deregulated, unregulated league, which doesn't have an official license, then the players have to make a stand as well. But my worry is the players won't. They'll get offered more money.
Yeah, the prospect of more money.
There'll be more. The clubs think there'll be more money available to pay them more money. So that's what I'm saying. Don't be flaky. Easy for us to say, but they've all got enough money. The people that own these clubs have got enough money. The players have got enough money. And then that's why, then if we get flaky, then supporters will go and watch the games. Supporters will pay the subscriptions. TV companies will buy it. And in 5 years' time, this will be the norm. And then we'll be waiting for the next ones to come along, because if another club comes along, there's other historic big clubs out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're even saying they're doing a favour, aren't they, by allowing five clubs to qualify.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
You know, and how's that going to work out? You know, and at the moment, Bayern Munich, PSG, Dortmund, the French and German clubs are not doing it. I mean, I was interested in Barcelona's outlook on it.
Yeah, because Bartomeu signed them up, didn't he, initially?
That's it, yeah. So I was waiting to see if Laporta did anything different, but it doesn't appear he's going to be. He's doing exactly the same. Whether that's a legal process or not, I don't know. That's the issue with Barcelona. Florentino Perez is being appointed the president. And Atletico Madrid have jumped on board. So I think that from Spain's point of view, listen, I know it's going to be different. If they've gone and they have to get relegated, threaten them with that. And actually, I wouldn't even threaten them with it. I'd just do it. Just do it. Chuck the three of them in seconda, if that's possible. Chuck the big six out the Premier League, whether you do it to down one division or down to the Division Two. I don't care anymore.
Here's another thought. Then I've seen this sort of mentioned by by fans of medium to large clubs in the Premier League. Is it that bad a thing if that happens? Say they end up, which is not the plan, but they end up just playing in their Super League. And so therefore, La Liga then is Sevilla against Valencia, against Real Sociedad, against Athletic to see who wins the league. The Premier League then would be this season won by Leicester or Everton or, would it actually be more interesting? Yeah, West Ham.
Yeah.
In some ways it was, wouldn't it? Because what's happened since 1992, when that 1992 was the start of the Premier League, where the money started concentrating in the club's hands rather than being distributed widely. Now, they give some. So they pay for a few playing fields around.
There's more to give, isn't there? That's the secret. There's more to give.
Yeah. But
because of the success of the Premier League.
Yeah. But on the European stage, in the years before the Euro, because also the Champions League 92, massive year 92. The years before that, Red Star had won, PSV Eindhoven had won it, Porto had won it. So you had this spell where it was genuinely up for grabs. You genuinely didn't know, and the big clubs didn't want that. And it's more boring in many ways as a result of it. Now, again, send us your views, send us it on Twitter or Patreon, send us a message. Because maybe people like a small number of clubs. Maybe people don't want the idea that 30 different clubs could win the European, that could be European champions. And they just want to know that it's basically the same five or six every season will be competitive.
But the other thing about the change in the Champions League, I still prefer the old method.
Yeah.
Knockout, two league, all the way through. I look back now and I think the three competitions, champions of the leagues, cup winners, domestic cup winners, and positional places in Europe for the UEFA leagues. So we had the European Cup, the Cup Winners' Cup, the UEFA Cup. but the clubs wanted more games. My point of view is players need less games. There's too many games. They asked to do too much. International football has grown beyond all recognition. The days when England players had a couple of games during the season and then the internationals to make the numbers up at the end of the season are gone. That's why we're seeing that left, right and centre players racking up over 100 games. Ramos is approaching 200. Yeah. That couldn't happen 20, 30, 40 years ago because there weren't enough games in a footballer's lifetime to play that many international games. So we've chucked in more international games. We've chucked in long, elongated European competitions. And the quality, particularly this season, because a 10-month season is 8 months. So the same amount of games are being crammed in a ridiculous time. We're seeing knackered players all over the place. And then we're all expected to see quality in the European Championships in the summer. No chance whatsoever.
Yeah, it's not going to be
so
pretty,
we are flogging a dead horse when it comes to the players. Now, yeah. Seed it by all means. You know, the early knockout stages, you wouldn't want to see, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona get drawn against each other in one of the early rounds. So it can be seeded. I'm pretty sure it used to be anyway. So it can be seeded until it gets down to, I said, the last 32. And none of this nonsense of can't play against someone in your own country, you can't play someone that was in your group. And you're seeing the draws, the elongated draws for the group stages, then for the knockout stages. Why are we, and next year we've got a European Conference League. Who wants to be in that? Seriously, who wants to be in that?
And
even the name sounds low
budget, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
But they were trying to appease some of these big clubs, but that was never going to appease Arsenal. That if they're in they're not even going to get in the European Conference League this year. You know, that's how bad it is.
Yeah,
you know, Arsenal could end up 11th.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even make the Conference League, and yet they want to be in the. I can't even bring myself to that crappy word, Super League. I joked about the Premier League, the Super League. Give it up, for God's sake.
The never-ending Champions League group, isn't it? The Champions League group that never ends.
What could be the best league ever? Yeah. That we need a name for possibly the best league ever.
Yeah.
I mean, this has got the MLS written all over. MLS Europe. That's what it should be called.
Yeah.
And they can play the winners of the MLS in America and call it the World Series.
Well, it's not a million miles away that you start then thinking, well, hang on, do we need three clubs in London? Why can't we just have one of those in Dubai? And we get rid of Arsenal altogether. Arsenal can start back up again in the English League, and we'll have Dubai and then we'll have LA and, you know, Beijing. And then they can just, we'll just do it that way, because that's, you know, it gets you into the content quicker. Yep. Right, one last question on this before we will talk football, everybody. Is it just a bluff? So Daniel's question from the beginning is it just?
Well, what do they want? If they don't want this, what do they want? I think they want this. I think the fact they've signed a document, they've brought out a statement, they're bringing out their branding, of course. Which is being posted all over the place. What do they want? More money in the Champions League? I mean, they'd waste that. They're so badly run, these clubs.
They've got so much money.
They waste any money they get.
Yeah, and they've racked up $5.5 billion.
The other thing I was going to say, there should be transfers between the leagues.
Yeah.
So if you are Tottenham and you want to buy a player from West Ham, you're buying a player from the Premier League, there should be an embargo on that.
Mm.
They should only be allowed to buy each other's players.
Yeah.
You know, something like that would harm them as well, because the last thing they ever want is them buying from each other. All hell breaks loose when PSG raid Barcelona and get Neymar.
Mm.
You know, we don't often see that type of transfers where someone is being bought from that club. And I mean, you've got to understand, I come from an era, generation of players that were banned from Europe for 5 years because of Liverpool fans. I was in a generation of footballers. I got sold when I was out of contract. So all this issue, all these changes that have come over the years, which still bugs the life out of me. I got a friend of mine, Frank Stapleton, was sold for £900,000 when he was out of contract from Arsenal to Man United.
Yeah.
How do you sell someone who's out of contract? And those sort of things. So we needed change along the way, somewhere along the line. you know, and Hillsborough brought along massive change. You know, it was needed. It was what's happened since with the stadiums and stuff like that. They're the changes we want to see applied to football for the better, not for the power of 12 arrogant people that think they won. I mean, this isn't about it. It can't be about money to them. It can't be.
It's money. Because power.
It's power. Yeah. It's a power grab. They want to run football, but with only their mates playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want to run. They don't want to do what FIFA do and UEFA do and look after the general population in the football world. They just want a cartel of like the NFL owners that own the league in the NFL.
Yeah.
They want to own their league.
One last word on this before we'll take a break and play some big corporate adverts.
I need a break.
Yeah. But lots of people, I think a really weak argument, it gets on my nerves actually when you see it on social media. So you think everything's perfect as it is then? No one's saying that. There's too much concentration of money as it is, but this makes it worse. And this is different because on the sporting front, it shuts down competition. So at least the other way it works, we know Barcelona and Real Madrid have got too much money compared to the rest. We know that that happens in the Premier League and everywhere else as well. But while the door is open, it at least gives us hope that we're going to see an interesting contest. As soon as you shut the door, and as soon as you say it's the same team's just going to be knocking around, playing each other, raking in money, then you've changed the sporting nature of it, and it's not the same anymore. You've ruined the sporting aspect of it for the money. And so it is different, and it's not. They're not all just the same. They're not all these big rich clubs are the same. They're not. You know, this is different, and this is outrageous. Anyway,
and there'd be a lack of competition as well.
Yeah,
because you can toss it off halfway through the season and think, well, we can't get relegated.
Yeah.
And they can't kick us out.
Yeah.
Who wants to see that?
Yeah. Well, the dead games. The worst thing about the Champions League, dead games. You think, well, they're playing there, but it doesn't really matter, does it? You know. Anyway, right. Let's play some adverts, and we'll come back and we'll talk because they actually played football this weekend.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome back to podcast listeners. We didn't stop basically through the outbreak. But anyway, the Copa del Rey was played this weekend, Terry. Oh, and Barcelona, it's hurting. I'm so annoyed by the Super League. I really want to praise Barcelona's performance in the Copa del Rey on Saturday. It's great to see. And I'm not blaming Messi, De Jong and Griezmann and all of that. I mean, yeah, they're paid too much money and it's probably part of the debts that's part of all of that. But let's try and enjoy the football and separate what we're seeing on the pitch from this madness. They played superbly, didn't they? The second half in particular. First half was a scrap. Second half, we saw some superb Barcelona football.
Yeah, the first half was relatively tough for them in terms of making a breakthrough, finding the openings. I have to say, first and foremost, I was disappointed with Athletic's approach to the game. At one stage, it was 18% possession. So they came with a plan. And listen, trust me, I know how difficult it is to play for an inferior team against a better team who are playing well. You can't get the ball. You're running around like headless chickens. They seem to have about six extra players. you're pinned back in your own half. You're playing up front, you barely get a touch. No one's within 20, 30 metres of you. So I understand how that works, but I don't think there is a massive gap, you know, that would be, you know, between Athletic and Barcelona to the extent that Athletic went there and played like a lower league team. You know, they didn't get up the pitch. They didn't get out the back. They didn't get close to players in midfield. They got no service or service support to the front players. So I was really disappointed in Athletic's performance and attitude. I get why, you know, perhaps they're a little bit downbeat after losing the first final, which was always going to be the one with the greater hope that they could win. So having lost against Real Sociedad, they now know that in 2 weeks later they're going to be playing that, you know, an informed Barcelona. And it was going to be more difficult to win that. Putting that aside, I think once Barcelona got the breakthrough, which was fully deserved, and Griezmann, quite pleased to see Griezmann get the first goal. He's not having an easy time of it. Lost his place and his position recently in the Clásico, so came back well and you know, was able to get the goal from that, set them up and running. The two goals from Messi were sensational. 60 passes, wasn't it, I think, from the last goal, 60 passes, 3 minute possession. Yeah. Again, that's difficult when you're 3-0 down, you're chasing shadows, you know you're out of the game, you know you've lost. Barcelona running the clock down, and it's quite, you know, demoralising to try and battle against that. So I thought it was ultimately in the end a really good performance from Barcelona. Tough on Athletic Club to lose two finals in quick succession. But there were some really good pieces of play from Barcelona during this game. And Messi, you know, stood out with his two fantastic goals, particularly the first one. The first one was classic Messi.
Yeah, beautiful.
But again, if you analyse that from a defensive point of view, there was ample opportunities for Athletic to have put a stop to it.
Yeah.
Legitimately as well, not just hack him down and bring him down. It's never the answer. So I think that it does, you know, hold Barcelona in good stead. Gives them a big boost going into the remaining games in La Liga, knowing that they've won one trophy. And, of course, we'll talk about the other results that went on in the La Liga weekend pretty soon, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, let's do it now then, shall we? So Barca obviously weren't involved, but there were 8 games, all played Sunday. Not quite understand why. So Atletico... I turned on the style, Terry. Every now and again, we think, don't we? We think
they didn't.
Yeah, right. Go on then. Go on. Well, they scored lots of goals. Put it that way.
John, it was 40. I've got the times of the goals here. 42 minutes.
Yeah.
0-0, and they were pretty dull. Yeah,
it was.
I was sitting there preparing my podcast.
Right.
Debate about Atletico, thinking. Well, I nearly tweeted, almost mission accomplished by Atletico Madrid to get to half-time against Eibar at 0-0. And then I was thinking during that first half, how cautious they were, how dull they were. And after me having saying that they showed that spirit the week before against Betis, that I fancied them to win the league again, I haven't changed my mind. But after the first half, 42 minutes in, I'm thinking, I wonder if Simeone's team talk at half-time, before the game, in preparation. Now, I've played for managers who scared the life out of me sometimes because they praised the other team so much that you think you're playing against Superman and all the superheroes. And you come out of those team talks and you think, we ain't got a chance against this lot. They are brilliant. We're rubbish. It seems to me like Simeone must have talked to his players before the game and praised Eibar to the heavens, told them how fantastic they were, ignoring the fact everyone's beaten them. Because, I mean, we're talking ultimately a 5-0 scoreline, which looked great. But for those 40-odd minutes before they got the first goal, chances were few and far between. Actually, it was 50-50. Eibar had one or two near misses as well. And I just thought, I wonder how Simeone approaches these games against teams that they should be wiping the floor with. In their, you know, in their current mood, you know, going for the title, only La Liga to concentrate on. And then Correa gets the first goal from a set piece, scores a fantastic second goal. Love that finish from Enzo Correa. Brilliant goal. And then two quick goals straight after half-time. So it was astonishing how it suddenly turned around from a classic Atletico performance in terms of playing against the team bottom of the league, Let's get to halftime, keep a clean sheet, let's keep it nice and steady, don't take any chances. And then eventually it ends up with a 5-0 win. But I think that's a really important scoreline for Atletico. On the back of the spirited performance against Betis with players missing, then to thump someone in that fashion, in the manner they did, then that lifts their morale again. Suddenly, you know, it looks a bit different from now at the top of the league.
Yeah. And Real Madrid then, so they slipped up against Getafe, 0-0. Having watched the game, it wasn't the worst result in the Getafe. Again, Getafe weren't battening down the hatches, were they? They weren't hanging on. And Courtois, we praised Courtois last week. Oh, yeah, it was the Patreon one. We praised Courtois, and he made good saves again, didn't he, in this one. Funny team, Real Madrid, aren't they? Rise to the big occasion, but genuinely struggle against Getafe.
I think we have to point out, don't we? Courtois was king of the match, as they say.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Courtois, they would have got beat. But we do have to point out they had no back four, no Carvajal, Varane, Ramos, Mundi. So that's the whole first choice back four. Casemiro, Valverde, and Toni Kroos. Pretty decent midfield three.
Yeah.
And up front, they didn't know Lucas Vasquez, no Eden Hazard, and Benzema on the bench. But I don't have any sympathy. I really don't. Because of the mistakes they've made in terms of letting players leave. Whether it was James Rodriguez on a free, Gareth Bale on loan, Martin Odegaard, Danny Ceballos, one or two as Luka Jovic. You can't do that, especially if you're a Super League team. You don't need to farm out players to save on the wage bill, do you?
Yeah.
So I don't have any sympathy. And Atletico Madrid have had injuries this year. Barcelona have had injuries this year. Not as many as this, but it was a strange looking lineup. So I don't want to be too critical of the 11 players that played in the game. Modric was incredible again. I mean, he was right wing, he was left back, he was holding midfield, attacking midfield. Incredible performance from a player that's trying to galvanise his team. That some were jaded, some were tired, some haven't been playing much, some have played in the B team the night before, which is ludicrous, playing for Real Madrid Castilla. I think there was two of them, wasn't there, that came off the bench for quite a significant 20-25 minutes part of play. And Antonio Blanco Conde, Sergio Arribas, both played for Castilla the night before. That's ludicrous. Come on, run it properly. Super League team, you can't be playing kids in the B team and then, you know, they must have known the night before there was a possibility that they're going to be needed for the first team.
Yeah, it's weird that, isn't it?
You'd hope so. If it's a Super League team, then they should be organised enough, you know, to have the arrangements to make sure that young players are not having to play 90 minutes one night and 25 minutes the next night in the first team. So it was a shambolic set-up, line-up. So I don't be critical of their performance. And if anything, I would be more critical of Getafe, that they didn't take the ball by the horns and finish off a Real Madrid team that were all over the place. To a degree, they almost did, but it was Courtois who came to the rescue on a number of occasions. So 2 points dropped by Real Madrid. At this stage of the season, it's critical that you're not dropping points against the Getafe team. I think got one win in 13.
Yeah.
So it's 2 points dropped. When you look at the fixtures, the remaining fixtures, this is one where you're thinking Real Madrid have to win.
Yeah.
Same as Atletico have to beat Eibar.
Yeah.
And there'll be a number of those. Then it comes to the big games where you think this could go either way. There are games that you just have to win. And at this stage of the season, tough as it is on the back of the game against Liverpool, I mean, Benzema came on. He didn't look fit. He looked like he was hobbling at times. He didn't look what he wanted to avoid any challenges after getting whacked by James Milner. Toni Kroos wasn't fit enough to actually come on and take part. So, you know, I think some of the players did reasonably well. As I mentioned, Modric was superb. I think Isco did okay. Irritates the life out of me when people say he hasn't got 90 minutes in him. How old is Isco? I'm going to check
what
now.
Is he, 28?
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's not 38.
Yeah,
you know, say he hasn't got 90 minutes in his body, and you're thinking, well, he bloody well should have. He's 28.
Yeah,
28. You know, so that's a nonsense. So, you know, what makes it difficult for him is he doesn't often get to play 90 minutes, but he has got 90 minutes. If he hasn't, then jack it in. Pretty sure he has. He can still play. So he was pretty decent as well. Militao continued his good form. Schust alongside him looked solid as well and decent on the ball. Odriozola, I still baffles me why they ever bought Odriozola. I don't know why.
He's not popular, is he? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's half decent, but Real Sociedad, they haven't missed him. And no. I don't think he would enhance Real Sociedad if he went back there now. Mm. And I think, you know, he was a player of promise. He had a good game against Real Madrid when he first got into the team, and they wouldn't let go of the notion of signing him and paying $30 million for him. But he did all right, not slaughtered him on the back of last night's game. So two points dropped. Getafe will rue the fact they didn't actually win the game.
Sevilla won at Real Sociedad. Is it champions elect Sevilla, as we should call them, of course, if they took them all
I would
out.
Love that.
Yeah.
I would love it. But would they have gone if they were asked? That's the other issue.
Yeah.
They probably would have signed up.
Yeah.
No, so no, big win. Because they're digging in there, aren't they? I mean, that they have got an outside chance of doing it. They have to play Real Madrid so they can close the gap up on them. And, you know, no other distractions, just La Liga games. Carlos Fernandez, there's a couple of players this week, actually celebrated scoring against their old team.
I couldn't make out whether he was really celebrating or whether he was just being swept along. I don't know. Was he properly celebrating?
I know Sergio Canales did, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
When he scored against Valencia. Yeah. But it was good to see Carlos Fernandez, a player that I liked last season. His career sort of stalled a little bit this year by not playing on a regular basis. First of all, Sevilla, now Real Sociedad. Fine finish, good goal, be a relief for him to get up and running before the season ends for Real Sociedad. But Sevilla bands back in good style and had more chances as well that they should have taken. So they're on a good run at the moment, Sevilla.
Yep.
Relying on Nesri again.
Big win for Villarreal away to Levante. I mean, literally in terms of the numbers they scored. And some excellent goals. We haven't chatted about Chukwueze for a while.
No.
Terry, how? I thought he was really good when I first saw him. But then, I don't know, Unai Emery seems to, I don't know, have slight doubts about him. But but absolutely crucial part in this game. And he's an exciting player, isn't he?
Very much so. I think the doubts have come from Unai Emery with the doubts about how he lines up his team.
Right. Yeah.
Because when they play a 4-3-3, sometimes it's Gerard Moreno wide on the right. You know, if Paco Alcacer or Bacca are fit, and then someone like Moy Gomez or Pedraza on the other side. So then when he plays a 4-4-2, he doesn't seem to trust Chukwueze in an orthodox midfield position up and down the pitch. So I think he's a terrific player. He burst onto the scene, didn't he? And I don't think his form has deteriorated. I just think the opportunities have become limited with the managers over the last couple of years. But when he plays, you know, using that left foot, coming off the right wing, I think he's got pace, he's got skill, he can finish, he can beat defenders through his dribbling skills. I think he's a awesome player, and that was a massive win for Villarreal. Levante look the team to play at the moment, terms of they've got the Las Palmas of the La Liga at this stage of the season.
Yes.
So it's a big win. Villarreal needed it. You know, they're fighting to try and ensure they keep going on two fronts. Europa League against Arsenal to come up, and they're still, you know, finding out for a European position in La Liga. Big win.
Yeah. Right. Important games at the bottom end. Then let's do those as a bit of a lump. So Osasuna in their battle for 42 points and survival, as they're doing well, aren't they? It's almost you'd almost think they're going to survive against Elche, who obviously lost the game. Huge game at the bottom was Alaves with a win over Huesca. Are we discounting Cadiz now from the relegation battle? 0-0 against Celta Vigo.
Nearly. I think they're nearly there. Yeah. Likewise, Osasuna, I think they're both nearly there. Yeah. Very nearly.
Yeah.
So one or two more points from both of those teams. I think I would still go with Valencia. I think they're nearly there. I think that the ones that are a problem are Getafe down. Massive win. What a cracking goal as well from Battaglia. A player I haven't been too complimentary about, because under the previous managers, he just tended to sit in the centre circle and didn't run, and left his teammates to do all the running around and jogging around. But he got himself up on the edge of the box, and unleashed a, you know, powerful attempt that flew into the top corner. So that was the big win, wasn't it, for Alaves against the direct opponent. Eibar, as we've already talked about, were in big trouble, and Elche, you know, seemed to pick up, didn't they, quickly when Escobar initially took over. But, you know, to lose 2-0 to Osasuna was not ideal for them, of course, and does leave them now, you know, but look how close it is. I'm talking about Getafe, 31 points. They're not out of it. They're 4 points above relegation. They've got one win in 13. We can't turn around and say Getafe is safe. So I think Getafe, Alaves, Huesca, obviously provided it, Elche and Eibar, you know, the teams that are involved in this exciting relegation scrap at the bottom.
Yeah, Alaves, Huesca, Valladolid, all on 27 points, straddling the drop zone. And then Elche, 26, Eibar, 23, which is their form, isn't it? Makes you say that Eibar are out of it. Because the points is not... It's not insurmountable, 4 points, is it, with, what, seven games to play?
Definitely not. Yeah. But it's just the lack of goals. Look, yeah. 22 goals still.
Yeah.
Same as Getafe.
Yeah. And so one more game, Betis-Valencia. Good fun, wasn't it? Good goals.
Best game of the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Best game of the weekend, along with Sevilla, Real Sociedad Sevilla. I think they were the two best games of the weekend. Betis have certainly done some work on training this week in terms of their set pieces.
Yeah.
A decently worked, very good worked corner to Fekir to volley in that. The first goal for Real Betis, and then lovely bit of imagination on the second as well. Worth checking out if you want to. I adore any team that come up with a bit of imagination on a set piece. I get bored stiff watching teams doing the same. All teams, not one team doing the same corner time and time again. All teams doing the same corners. All teams doing the same free kicks. So for Betis to come up with a smartly worked corner and really well-worked free kick to allow Canales to thump in. Really, you know, it just goes to show how important it is. You know, the putting the time in. You don't need that much time on the training ground, interestingly enough. Yeah. It's actually putting the time in as a coach to try and work out these scenarios, you know, because you're not always sure where the free kicks are going to be. So you might need thousands to come up with one that suits that particular part of the pitch. And then you go through it with the players, you know, quick rehearsal. This is the movement that leads to, you know, your team getting goals, which wins you points, which gets you up the table, keeps you safe from relegation, or wins you La Liga title, because they're important set pieces. So that was good. Guedes' goal was sensational as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he was getting pushed over and shoved over, managed to get his shot away. That was power. The power beat the keeper, Claudio Bravo, and Soler with a penalty after missing one the week before. So that was really, as you said, good fun to watch. Good. Two good teams, actually, on two good performances.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Right, I think we'll leave it there for now. We've gone on long enough, obviously, because we were... Go on, sorry, Terry.
We forgot, Cadiz, Celta Vigo, 0-0. I thought we had a 20-minute block. We in production meeting, we put 20 minutes down for this game.
Yeah. Do your own podcast, everyone, about Cadiz versus Celta Vigo.
Nil, no, nil.
We do respect. Yeah, we respect Cadiz and Celta Vigo. It's good to have Cadiz.
There's no goals.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to be around next. So we're going to have plenty of time to talk about these two teams. They're around for next season, aren't they? And there's a midweek round as well, so we'll be back for Patreons only. I think later in the week to have a chat about that. We'll be back for everybody next week. Don't forget, make some noise about the European Super League. And if you are in favour, send us, you know, let us know, and we'll have the debate. But don't just sit there, let it happen without complaining, without moaning about it. You know, stand up for your game, and we'll see you for another podcast next week. Bye bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.